Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for Dungeon Masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Hey guys, this is Sarah Vanzella.
And now, a special edition of the Toddcast podcast.
How old were you when you first saw porn on screen?
How old was I when I first saw porn on screen? I was probably somewhere between 11 and 14. It would be on video.
VHS.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be back in the day, yeah.
VHS or even pay-per-view on TV.
Okay.
Yes, correct.
Yeah, remember like when we were younger, they'd have like the Super Channel where, you know, you'd have like the 68 channels or whatever the hell, and then you try to get to the Triple X channel, and you just see like the blurred lines and shit on TV, and every once in a while pop up like, holy crap, I think I just saw everything.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Totally. I would break into it with my dad's password, so that's kind of how I figured out a way in.
And so how old were you when you got into making films?
I was 23.
Okay, now was that just a matter of like, well, I love sex, why not make money while I'm doing it?
Not exactly. I was kind of doing 9-to-5 work while going to college, and I just was unsatisfied, wanted something more, wanted to work and have excitement. And I've always been a sexual person, but was kind of shy and didn't know how to express my sexuality or even really channel it for a while. And it wasn't until my very early 20s, maybe 19 to 22, that I kind of started to come out of my shell, and somewhere around 21, I decided to quit the square life, and I slowly kind of started tiptoeing my way into adult industry, starting with dancing and then legal sex work, in Nevada brothels, and then from there, I kind of went into adult film. I always knew that legitimizing myself and doing it the right way was the end goal, but how to get started in that, I wasn't quite sure. And I did some research before dipping into porn, and I called some agents, got some, you know, information, and wasn't quite ready to make the leap.
Okay.
So it wasn't until I was roughly 2 years of doing sex work on my own, through dancing and the brothel work, until I met a girl that kind of introduced me to video work. And then I slowly got into that. And it's been an incredible 13 years. And I can't believe how fast it's flown by. Mm-hmm. Wow.
And do you think that there's been a more lucrative time than the present time to make money as an adult performer? You got webcamming, OnlyFans.com. I mean, that must be a great side hustle at the very least.
Absolutely. There's so many more revenue streams for performers to tap into.
Yeah.
And their content to really mean something more than just being booked for a scene. And that's awesome too. And you kind of need both to develop a fan base and a name. And I'm so grateful I came in when I did, because everything was still about, like, you know, what's being released. And, you know, street titles having a street date, like, that was a big deal,
right?
Like,
yeah.
I remember, like, streeting next week, like, that was a big deal. Now it's all just dropping on OnlyFans or dropping, you know, but it's amazing to have these different revenue streams to tap into.
Yeah.
And I am grateful. I am so grateful for that.
Yeah, I mean, the correlation between what you and I do is actually interesting, in that I had a 20-year radio career here in Vancouver. And I made the jump over to podcasting only after doing it for so long. And then there was, again, like you said, there's suddenly a revenue stream for my skill set. I don't have to work under a corporate umbrella. So now suddenly I can get people to sponsor me. I don't have an OnlyFans, but for lack of better, you know, phrasing, I basically mimic in the same regard.
Well, I think that's fantastic. And, you know, you just have to utilize what you can. And people appreciate artists who want to be supported directly and try to, you know, keep, you know, put piracy down and stolen content as much as they can prevent it. So
yeah.
I find that a lot of fans and supporters are happy to find a way to best kind of, you know, support the performer directly. So it's really nice.
It's pretty cool. Yeah. I mean, I haven't had to, I mean, I'm out of radio for 6 years now. I've been podcasting for six years. You know, I'll take today, you know, I did the afternoon show at the rock station here in Vancouver for 12 years. I'll take today over that landslide. Like canceled. You know what I mean?
That's anyway, awesome.
Yeah, for sure. It sure seems like adult performers, it feels like they get targeted on social media. Literally, platforms killing their accounts for no reason at all.
Yeah, and thank you for bringing that up, Todd, because this just happened to me recently, 2 weeks ago. My Instagram account, which had well over 200,000 followers, was deleted because I promoted my Mustang Ranch dates, and they said I was soliciting services for prostitution. Now, yeah, and I understand where they're coming from, but all I did was provide the dates I would be at the ranch and an email. And even on email, we're not allowed to discuss rates, and we can't cross the line because it could shut us down.
Right.
It's just a tool to use to get to know clients, get to know their desires, and for us to be better caregivers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a shame. It's a shame that we're being targeted. Instagram deleted me with no warning, and so I had to start over.
And like 200,000 people, that's not
over.
Fucking around. That's a lot of people that you just suddenly lost contact with.
And I'm grateful for those people because a lot of my peers are well in the deep 500K or even well over a million followers, like Riley Reid and Kendra Lust, et cetera.
Right.
And that's awesome. But yeah, I was very grateful and proud of my 250,000 followers, whatever it was.
Yeah. There's a lot of people.
And it's okay. Yeah, it is. It is a lot of people. But I'm just, you know, grateful for you to, you know, talk to me about it because maybe eventually we can get some sex worker rights when it comes to social media. And
yeah, of course you should. I mean, it's ridiculous that it's even being discussed. Like, why do you think that there's so much scrutiny within the adult film world? Like a few years ago, what was it, Proposition 60, where they were like, you know, all performers need to wear condoms and whatever else that they're going on about.
Goggles, and gloves,
Yeah, exactly. And now there's the, what is it, like, I love that they haven't given it a name. They've just, like, AB6539 or whatever it is.
AB2389, yeah, it's absolutely insane.
Which this is it's now, so at anyone that's an adult performer would have to carry, like, have a license. Obviously, this includes adult performers, but we're talking, like, webcam girls, dancers, clip creators, like what?
Content creators.
Yeah, like what is
exactly.
that?
Exactly.
What is that?
It's just excessive and harmful and miseducation, and I believe that our allies within the industry are communicating directly with this assembly person, Christina Garcia, who is directly behind AB2389, and this assembly person is, from my understanding, willing and flexible on rewording the license requirements and bill requirements. However, I just don't think she fully understands the type of damage this would cost taxpayers and that it is still extremely dangerous for us to be on any kind of registry. A lot of us are dealing with imposters and stalkers and obsessed fans, and the last thing we need is to be worried about getting hacked into a system. And also, like you said, it's every degree of adult performers, and this bill doesn't even mention the adult performers or sex workers from ages 18 to 20. And those are people that can vote here in the States and that can serve our country and fight for war. I just find it to be excessive and just discriminatory to take that choice away from someone who is given responsibility as a citizen and an adult, but when it comes to expressing your sexuality on film, that is a no-no.
I know.
So,
honestly, as the observer, let's be honest, we all watch porn. We all do, you know, whatever. We'll go out and party with the boys and have a stripper night.
Boy.
As one of those, you know, outside observers looking in, like, it just makes no sense. Like, none. It makes no sense.
there's so many other issues.
Yeah, and you'd mentioned imposters, like how annoying it must be to have people creating fake accounts pretending to be you. Like, they say that imitation is the sincerest form of flattery, but that to me just seems infuriating.
Yeah, I mean, I've kind of gotten over that part because there's no way around it. I've been on, you know, in the business for so long, and I'm just going to be targeted. The thing that really gets under my skin now are the fact that these people that are getting scammed are actually falling in love with me and following up and trying to find me. I cannot tell you how many guys I'm being contacted by weekly on Sex Panther, OnlyFans, or even Twitter asking if I am the girl that they've been talking to.
Wow.
Please, please tell me it's you. I'm in love with you. There was a man recently who found my phone number. He paid a background check to find my legal phone number, and I am in the process of talking to a lawyer about getting a restraining order. I mean, this is just, you know,
scary. It's mean scary shit too. It's not fucking around.
So I'm over the part of being annoyed with these imposters, because I try to report as many as I can, but Instagram won't even talk to us about it. Well, that's not true. A conversation was started between one of our allies, our representative unions here in the industry.
Yeah.
However, with everything going on in the media and the news, I feel like we've been put to the wayside. And so hopefully it'll be revisited. But there are no actual laws protecting performers. And also, due to the stuff we just discussed about Instagram hating us, it's very hard to get verified. So between the lack of understanding from Instagram, the inability to be verified, and the fact that we're constantly getting deleted, it's hard to always, you know, let people know, hey, if people are asking for money, it's not me.
Right.
I will never give you a sob story.
You had posted a video, I think it was like today or yesterday or something. Oh, obviously we're doing a little bit of quote-unquote research for this conversation, but it's good that you do that, first off, so that you know, like, you know what, like, all these other places, like, don't... And by the way, did you know that when I went to search for you, because you and I follow each other on Twitter, when I went to search for you, normally, like, if I'm searching out my buddy Dave, I punch in Dave, even if his... you know, handle is like whatever, Iron Dude 400 or whatever, right? But I went to punch in Sarah and I couldn't find you. I literally had to go to like a Google search to find, realize it was at Ms. Sarah. I didn't realize that. So did you know that that was also the case? When people follow and you follow them back, they can't find you unless they know your specific at handle. It's crazy.
I know, we're shadow banned.
What is that? What the hell is that?
I feel like it's everything you're saying. It's basically where your account exists, but if you're trying to search them, it won't come up. And even if you tweet at them or whatever, or if you think it's correct, it won't show that it's like a full account until after you tweet it. And then you go back and you click it, it'll show you the profile.
Wow.
But it's so weird. Yeah, it's just another way that they are trying to prevent us from, you know, promoting ourselves and making a living and protecting ourselves and our fans too. I don't want to see good people being ripped off. That's the last thing I want to see, you know, and any of us really, we don't want to see that. But it's sad. So I hope some laws will change. I feel
It'll change. Yeah. Eventually.
Within time.
Yeah, for sure.
Exactly.
Sarah, I'd love to get outside of, you know, the adult world and of course what you're known for. And I want to get to know you a little bit more here.
Sure.
What was the music in your house as a kid growing up? Like what's the bands that your parents are playing?
Oh my gosh. Like Joni Mitchell, James Taylor, the Beatles, Simon Garfunkel, Judy Collins, Cream, like just total folky classic rock.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you strike me as a big music person, you know, following along on social media.
I love music, and I love all the old pictures that I see on Twitter, and it's my favorite thing to retweet because we don't get reminded of all these fantastic images from so many years back, and nice to see them.
Totally.
It's nice to see them.
And what was your first concert that that you went to? How old were you?
My first concert with my family was James Taylor, but my first concert alone was it was the whole. Courtney Love.
Okay. Yeah.
When I was 16, how old was I? Yeah, 17. 17. It was the Celebrity Skin Tour, and it was in New York City. I went, and it was really fun and awesome. That was my first concert I went to. Well, me and a girlfriend.
Yeah.
So it was really cool.
Yeah, that had to set a bar.
Yeah,
at that time, when they were touring that record, they were on fire. Like, all rock stations were playing that band.
I know. They had their good years, and I just loved watching Courtney Love on stage and her band, and which was primarily female, if I can remember correctly.
It was, yeah.
With the exception, and just,
I think,
a
there was a guy bass player. Yeah,
yes,
I would imagine.
Yes.
An awesome night, yeah.
And so that was so cool.
If you had to, if I forced you into it, could you pick your top five bands all time?
Sure, absolutely.
Tough
Rolling
one.
Stones.
Rolling Stones.
Led Zeppelin.
Yes.
Jimi Hendrix. Stevie Ray Vaughan. And I'm going to go with Janis Joplin for my last.
Wow. Classic rock girl, big time. Is there any...
Total.
Lately, have you been into any of these newer bands?
Here and there. I've been listening to a lot of Joe Bonamassa recently.
Yeah.
I've always loved his work.
Great guitarist.
I'm supposed to see him. Yeah, he's incredible. I'm supposed to see him next week, but sadly, the governor of Seattle has banned any gatherings over 250 people, and so I'm still waiting to find out if that's the concert. Yeah.
And did you hear that the NBA has they're done. Their season is done. They've canceled the rest of the NBA season. The NHL's probably right behind them. Isn't that incredible?
What a time.
Right? Like, I just talked to a doctor, Dr. Goldner this morning, and I was saying, you know, like, she's known for, you know, lupus and kind of reversing people's, ailments and stuff. But obviously, being a doctor, she would know better than you and I about coronavirus. I was saying, like, are we blowing it out of proportion? Is the media, like, is it over where we should be pushing it? And she was kind of like, you know, yes and no. Like, you know, it's more than anything, just like, you know, wash your hands. Don't touch your face.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do stupid shit with your health. You know, if you don't have to fly somewhere, don't fly somewhere. If you don't have to be at an NBA game or you know what I mean? Like, don't be where 12,000, 15,000 people are. Like, use your brain.
Exactly.
Right?
Mm-hmm. It's
really
so
incredible.
True.
Yeah, it's really incredible. I mean, I've got like a 9-year-old and a 7-year-old. And my little guy was like, is it safe for me to go to school this morning? And I was like, oh my God.
Oh no.
Like, how sad is that? Right. Like, I know.
That's
like, yeah,
too much.
I'm like, dude, yes, just go. It's going to be fine. Well, then they closed down here in East Vancouver. They just closed down, I think it was yesterday, an elementary school. Because one of the teachers or somebody had been infected or whatever. So they were like, all right, close her down then. It's like, holy shit.
Wow.
Shit. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Scary stuff.
Definitely. Yeah. I agree with you. If you don't have to go flights or go to crazy crowds, stay home, be smart, wash your hands, don't do dumb shit. It's that simple.
It literally is that simple. She said, basically, we're looking at between 16, 18 months and we should be gold, which is still a long time.
Oh, gosh.
It's still a long time. When you find time, Sarah, what are you binge watching when you find time?
Ooh, wow. Okay. So right now I don't have one show that I'm watching per se. I've been at the ranch working and then filming. So I just kind of, I'll take a day or two and just kind of clear out my DVR. So I love a good mix. I love Homeland. Right now I'm loving the new season of Homeland.
Great show.
I'm loving, great show. I'm trying to stay away from the news and all that. I do normally like Dateline and 48 Hours. The last couple episodes were all about the coronavirus, so I just deleted them.
I like
a good mystery.
It's taking over everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, they fucking closed down Italy. They closed down the country. Like, done.
It's crazy. I mean, those
crazy
poor people. I could
crazy
only imagine the state of panic that they must be in.
Yeah.
But I also love some guilty pleasure TV. I'm a sucker for most anything on the Bravo network, within reason, of course.
Yes.
And DVR preferred so I can get through the commercials.
Right.
So that's kind of light and fun and just keeps it, you know, from getting too heavy.
Yeah.
I did just watch that Parasite movie. Wow, that was something.
Oh, I haven't seen it. Is it awesome? It
sounds you should check it out.
Amazing. Yeah.
It's a little heavy, but it's good. It's done well. And, you know, it's, I think you check it out. I think you would like it.
Cool.
Yeah. What else? So, yeah, just like, I like, you know, Showtime. I was really into The Deuce, and that's over. I love anything David Simon does. You know, I loved all his work in the 90s and early 2000s.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of shopping for a new show to binge, if you have any recommendations. But
man, so many.
I want to see The Hunters show. I've heard this is great. It's Prime, if I'm not mistaken, with Robert De Niro.
It's Al Pacino, where he is hunting Nazis.
Yes.
Where they gather in the same city or whatever, and they realize, like, holy fuck, those are the guys. Those are the guys. Holy shit. And apparently he just absolutely nails the role, too.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Not a surprise. So he's great.
Yeah. So that'll be that. That's probably my next one.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love when I can sleep in, throw on the TV, get to the gym in the afternoon, and then kind of, you know, have my day to myself. That's my kind of typical day off if I'm home and I don't have to film or I'm doing anything. So.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing
right?
wrong with that. Yeah. Did you
work hard, rest hard?
Yes, I totally agree. Did you see the Motley? Are you a fan of Motley Crue? And did you see the movie? What'd you think of it?
I am a fan. I haven't seen the movie yet. I keep forgetting about it. I should watch that.
Yeah.
I saw them play in 2013. That was pretty cool at the Hollywood Bowl.
Mm.
I want to watch that. I'm gonna put it on my list right now.
I'm a huge fan, and I give it a 5, 6. It's not like super stinky, but it's not like it will not blow you away.
Fair enough. Okay, I'll check it out.
Yeah. Do you think aliens have visited Earth?
They would have to, right? I feel like they would have had to.
I think so, too.
I feel like they would have had to.
Like, I felt sometimes that they even live among us.
I wouldn't be surprised at this point, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you get into the superhero movies? Are you a fan of, like, the Wolverine and then, you know, Deadpool and everything else?
I loved Deadpool, and I did love Wolverine, actually. Those would probably two of my favorites.
Yeah, like
he named two of my favorites.
Ryan Reynolds, he's from Vancouver. He's Canadian. The guy that plays Deadpool. He's so funny. Do you follow him on social media?
I don't, but I love him, and I loved him as Deadpool, and just great. Yeah.
What superpower would you want to have?
Probably to see the future.
Ooh. Yes.
Well, yeah. What about you?
Hold a second. How far in advance would you want to see the future?
Like, as far as my power would let me, and then I would want to be able to, like, pause it and stuff. Kind of remember that show Charmed? Remember how the one had the premonitions and then the other girl could pause it? I want the combined power of the premonition pause.
Be awesome.
Right?
Oh my God.
I want both.
So good. That would be so good.
Yeah.
Personally, I take teleportation. I'd like to be able to boom. I'm wherever the hell I want to be in a second. That would be
nice.
Pretty cool.
That's a really good one, too.
That would be pretty cool. Yeah. Yeah. I do want to respect your time here, Sarah. I'll hit you with a few more and then I'll let you get going here. Your thoughts on legalized marijuana? It came to Canada about a year and a half back now. We've had it for a little while. It's great.
Nice. I personally love the convenience of it, but it's also kind of a pain in the ass when you're limited to a certain amount of weed per visit.
No, really? Are you,
you know,
only allowed to buy a certain amount? What?
Up to an ounce a day.
That's a lot of weed.
It's a lot of weed, but who wants to go to the weed shop 3 times a week? I like to go once for 2 weeks and be done.
You don't smoke an ounce in 2-3 days.
No, but if you're buying edibles, if you're buying a vape pen, if you're buying pre-rolls, if you're buying flowers, it all adds up.
Oh,
and so
you can't buy, like, an ounce of weed and then some vape pens.
No.
Oh,
Bob,
it all
no,
adds up to
added.
It. I see what you're saying. Oh,
yes,
yeah.
Everything
yeah,
you buy is counted and measured.
Really?
And
wow.
Yeah, it's legal weed. That's how it works.
Like, I don't know if that's the case here in Canada, because obviously, like, it's not like I'm going to suddenly stop buying from the same guy I've bought from like, you know, 20 years just because it become legal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it very well could be the case here, the same thing, but I honestly don't even know. That's fucked, though.
Well, that's the thing. I was getting it from someone too, a delivery service. But yeah. I was friends with the guy, the nice. Owner. He was amazing. I've known him for like 8 years, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden, when 2020 hit, he disappeared. His whole business disappeared. So I had the best hookup and connection, and I loved using his company because they delivered to me and they always took care of me. I was a loyal customer, and they gave mm-hmm. me extra flour, mm-hmm. and I was a good customer, and you don't get that kind of love and support at the weed shops, but they do try to make it worth your while. They have a lot of deals, like the ones in LA. They'll have like Munchie Monday or, you know, pre-roll Sunday or like whatever,
okay.
you know, buy one, get one Wednesday. I don't know. But
yeah.
like,
yeah,
they try to make it worth your while because there are so many, but yeah, it's weird. Everything's counted and measured and then,
yeah.
But hey, I'm just grateful that weed is starting to be stigmatized.
Yeah. I think the same thing. Like, honestly, when I was a kid smoking weed at like, you know, 16, 17, if you had to say like, what do you think the chances of when you're a 45-year-old dude, you know, 30 years from now, do you think it's going to be legalized? My answer would have been like, are you not a chance, man? Like,
right?
No way are they going to legalize this. And honestly, like, why wouldn't they? Like, take the smoking side and the THC and everything else. Take all that shit away and just focus on the textiles and the uses that it could be. Like, instead of clear cutting, they could use, you know, marijuana and the hemp. And, you know, it grows back way faster than if you're cutting down, clear cutting a forest or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, why? Like, just take apart, take the quote unquote stoner side of things and don't even put that into the equation. And it should be legal. Based on everything else, it's insane.
Yeah,
medical use, like CBD oils. I don't know if you're a big fan of the MMA and UFC and Bellator and all that, but those fighters, after they've had their shit kicked out of them, they'll go backstage and have CBD oil because it helps the body recover faster. Like, what's that say?
It's no insane. Kidding.
Yeah. All right. Last.
Sounds like they're onto something.
I think they are. Yeah. Last question. It's an oddball one for you. Have you ever had a near death? Experience?
Maybe one or two times, you know, on the road driving would be the only thing that would come to mind.
Yeah. A lot of people are the same.
Calls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're like,
and thank God, not the case. But yeah, scary when that happens. You can just be so relaxed one moment and just kind of in your own element, and then all of a sudden, boom, you know, your whole adrenaline is shot up and you're tense and you're awake. Like,
right. Adrenaline just spiked. And then the crazy thing about certainly car accidents and stuff is like how in that moment, everything slows down. It's just, whoa, man. Like everything is really slow and you're so aware of everything that's around you. It's incredible.
For sure.
Yeah. Right on. Sarah, thank you for taking some time here to join us. Your only Twitter account is at Ms. Sarah Vandala.
Yes. And just MS for Miss.
Yeah.
And Instagram is the only Sarah Vandala _.
Okay.
And that's a new account, and I'm trying to keep it as PG-13 as I can. So I only have about 1,000 followers.
They'll let
right
you get
now.
Up to 100,000, then they'll boot you off again and make you do it all.
Right.
Over. What a pain.
I do have one picture in my underwear. So let's hope that they don't suspend me for that. But I was doing all very PG, and then I tried to slip in a PG-13 to see what I could get away with.
Right. Push
and
those
then,
borders
a
little
bit.
Yeah.
Right. And if you want to support me directly, please feel free to check out my OnlyFans, onlyfans.com/Sarah Vandala. And those are the three platforms I use the most, besides Sex Panther, which is just call and text.
Okay.
But that's it. No YouTube or anything. though.
And it's just one account for each of those platforms. Don't be fooled by anybody reaching out saying, hey, what's going on?
Exactly. I will never contact you asking you for money or telling you a story like my mom's in the hospital or I'm in jail or an alien stole me and took me to, you know, anywhere. Like, I will never give you any kind of crazy stories or, you know, scam you. So just be safe.
Awesome. Thanks again, Sarah. I appreciate it.
And
thank you for being so accommodating with your time tonight. It's pretty awesome. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you, Todd. I love your podcast.
Oh, thank you.
It was really an honor to talk to you. You've interviewed some really amazing people, and I'm lucky to have been one of them.
Entertainment guests of the Toddcast podcast are powered by Tomes, where quality sleep matters. Find out more at Tomes.com. That's TaummHoms.com.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's HYPERTHETICAL.